It's mid-August and back to school. Once your kids hit preschool, your life pretty much begins to revolve around the academic calendar. And we approach it as the beginning of a new year, and really in a lot of ways it is. Over the next 6 weeks, we'll be exploring an invitation to the rhythms of life. And what are the healthy life rhythms for you, for your children, and your family? We'll cover topics such as schedules, transitions, and even anxiety. We invite you to visit our blog, loveandleadparenting.com. We will be posting there and hope to hear from you as we journey together. Matthew 6:33 in the Message reads, "Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. God is here. He's at work to love and lead you as you in turn love and lead your kids." As this podcast helps or encourages you, we invite you to like it, share with a friend. Let's get started. Hey, and welcome to Love and Lead. We're glad you're with us today. Last week we had opened a topic called Healthy Rhythms, and we really took this from kind of a big picture view and our root system, if you will, of our lives and what builds sustainability for us, what is life-giving as a family and individually. This week, we want to continue that same idea, however, become just even a little bit more practical and look at our schedules after we've begun to decide the healthy rhythms. How do we translate those into a calendar? And so we look at our calendar and we see that we're actually doing the things that are important. Jean, what comes to your mind as we start off with this today?
Well, calendars are funny things, aren't they? Whether you use one on your phone or on your computer, or if you're old school, paper calendar. I confess I use all three of those, yeah. Which is not good. But calendars are funny. If there's blank space, I think we think we're free and then we could fill in that blank space. Sometimes I look at my calendar and I see that I did something every day. And when I'm feeling a little bit more filled up, when I feel a little bit more like I have a healthy rhythm, I feel real proud of myself and accomplished. And times when I have less capacity and I feel a little bit overwhelmed, I look at that calendar and it just kind of makes me tired just looking at it. Mm-hmm. So calendars are funny. And if we let them, they can control us instead of us controlling them.
Very good point. I have felt that myself.
It's just such a strange thing. If I have a blank day in my calendar, I think, oh, good, I'm free that day and I can fill it. That's how I've lived most of my adult life. And it's only been over the past 10 years or so when I've realized, no, a blank day can also already be taken. It can already be filled with that time to spend by myself. My personality is that I'm mostly introverted. I'm kind of an outgoing introvert. It's easy for me to talk with people and to meet people, and I love people. But if I have too much of people, I need to pull back and have one of those days that is completely unstructured, because that's another part of me. I'm also an unstructured person. I don't like to have every moment of my day filled. Before I knew that about myself, I was filling up every nook and cranny of a calendar until I was overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that to identifying what's behind that, Jean, as you say, most of us, we live in a culture that awards activity, our culture awards achievement.
And busyness.
Like, what do we think if somebody wouldn't say, oh, I've been so busy? I mean, we think we honor that. Like, oh, look, you
know. How important they are.
Yes. They're busy. Exactly. So I think we have to really be aware of that cultural view of busyness and activities in our calendars. And again, what going back to our invitation of healthy, life-giving rhythms and knowing really our invitation, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag early. Our invitation is going to be to recharge and to lean into how God made us.
Mm-hmm.
Not comparing with others or feeling there's a standard to meet or make, but really more of a discovery.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe what is the empty day? What's the invitation that day? And even pausing for a moment. And what's my invitation for this day? And it could be, as you said, that pull back and recharge. It could be you actually get to call or get together with a friend that you've put off for so long because you haven't had that, right? You can't even necessarily answer that till you look at it and give yourself permission, which I think is another big word, to say, okay, what's the gift in this day for me? Is it pulling back? Is it for me? Is it for a friend? Is it to clean out that basement that we've put off now for a full year? We all have a free Saturday, right? None of those are the right or wrong answer until you've stopped to actually be quiet and discern what's the gift of that day.
That's really, really good. And I would even go farther to say that it's not just finding out who we are and how we were made, but trying to figure out about our kids. It's pretty easy to figure out if they tend to be structured or unstructured. Mm-hmm. And whichever they are, you need to lean into that for them. Not exclusively, but enough for them to feel comfortable in life. I remember one of my sons is so structured. And as I said, I am not. And homeschooling him was just kind of a rough, I knew we were going to do math or we were going to do English, we're going to do science, whatever it was. I had a rough idea. And he started coming up with his own schedule at first. He'd say, hey, mom, how does this schedule look? How about if I start school at 8 o'clock and I start with reading or whatever? And I loved it and I praised him for that, but it helped me realize, he needs more structure than I'm providing for him. And so we worked that out. And later he started making his own assignments because my assignments weren't challenging enough for him. And so that worked fine for me, for him to make his own. One of my other sons is so unstructured that it took him probably 2 hours to do 10 math problems. And so we had to work with him to find ways that would be life-giving and fulfilling and helpful. So knowing your kids is very important. I would say, especially in the area of extrovert or introvert, if your kids get energized by being with other people, then you know that you need to provide those situations for them, whether it's within your family or outside of your family. But for those kids that are introverted, too much interaction with others is going to stress them out. This is even key and important, and I know I'm getting off topic of schedules, but I want to say this, even in disciplining your children, if you have an extroverted child and you're trying to send them to their room for misbehavior, that's going to be the worst thing you could ever imagine doing to them because they are cut off from people.
Yes.
So a timeout for them would need to be still in the space where they can still see people.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if you have an introverted child and you're trying to send them to their room as a punishment, they think that's the best thing in the world and they might continue to do that behavior just to be sent to their room. So knowing our kids' temperaments and preferences, not that we're going to get it right 100% of the time, and not that we let that dictate everything we say or do, but it's important to be aware of.
Absolutely. And don't you think, Jean, part of that is like helping them to develop self-awareness is really what you're loving and leading your kids into. Next to being God aware, that self aware is that part of so crucial for a kid's success in life.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not aware of their strengths, they might see them. I mean, you just don't know how to interpret it, right? If you're not in the fitted, you feel like you're the black sheep or I'm the square peg. They could connect things in their mind that if they're not understanding, oh, well, I'm wired more to need some alone time. I need more quiet time. My sister, she needs more time with people. Neither are, again, are right or wrong, but they begin to understand themselves and how they fit in this big, wonderful world God's given them.
Well, I think too, once they have a sense of who they are and how they were made, I think that could work in teaching them empathy also, because they can realize this is how I am and this is not how somebody else is. Everybody is different in those ways. And so they could learn to be more accepting. And I think to bring it full circle back to our schedules as parents, we need to foster those conversations with our kids rather than kind of be dictators to them about we're going to do this, this, and this. If you have some discretionary time and you don't quite know what to do with this Saturday afternoon, you might consider having a conversation to hear what your family members' ideas are, what would be fun or life-giving. And if some of them just want to stay home, making room for that. Not all the time. I really want to go on record as saying kids aren't the leaders of the family. Kids aren't the ones who get to make all the decisions, but they have to be involved in all the decisions because that's how they learn how to make them. Our role as parents, remember, is to raise functional adults. We don't want them to stay childish their whole lives.
And that, and I am going to jump on that a little bit, Jean, because as you were sharing, I gave my family background on the first episode that we grew up with little communication skills. We didn't communicate as a family. So I'm just curious, like how you held conversations for your with your family. What I did was I just said, we need to have a family conversation. And we'd go somewhere where we could sit. And it was my family is my daughter and myself as a single parent. However, it created the playing field, if you will, for the conversation. As a parent, I would prepare for that, knowing like, here's what the conversation outline is going to be. Like, I'm not going to say, oh, well, what do we want to do with this free Saturday afternoon? But I might say, okay, here's a couple of options that I think could work. Mm-hmm. What do you think? So knowing how to set up successful family conversations around this, what's your insights on this?
I love what you just said. We as parents get to give the parameters for our kids. I hope you don't, parents, let your two-year-old make all their decisions about what they're going to eat, because of course they're only going to eat goldfish crackers. You give them parameters. Do you want grapes or do you want watermelon? You know, you're going to give them choices. As they get older, of course, you give them more choices or a little bit more autonomy. Mm-hmm. I remember one vacation we were going to take. We were taking all four kids. We had one daughter and three sons, and we were going to go camping. And I knew my daughter doesn't enjoy camping. She doesn't enjoy it, but everybody else, we all love it. Mm-hmm. And so we had to find ways when I told her we were going to go camping that there were going to be things about it that she would enjoy. So I started the conversation with, oh, our family vacation is coming up. It's going to be so much fun. Not mentioning yet that it's camping. What kind of things do you think would be fun on a vacation?
Okay.
Kind of left it totally open-ended. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she always picks going out to eat. She always picks going shopping. And so I was able to say, we'll be able to do those things.
Oh.
We will do those things. Okay, we're going to go. And then it was, we're going camping and we're going to go out to eat and we're going to go shopping. And
wonderful parenting skill there. So those little, even side conversations, if you will, sometimes where they have no idea what you're going to do with that information, or they might even have different answers, but
right,
it can feed into, that's wonderful.
So I want to talk, get back to our calendar question. It's so important, of course, to plan different kinds of activities for outgoing kinds of things and then for some rest time. That's our healthy rhythms we talked about last week. But I'm thinking about how the holidays are coming up, and they are such a wonderful time of year and stress producing. Mm-hmm. I have one friend, they have three kids, and both of their parents had been divorced and remarried. And so there were four sets of grandparents.
Oh my.
And
yes.
All four sets mm-hmm. of those grandparents expected their family to come to Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day. They literally made themselves crazy trying to make the grandparents happy by going to all the different homes for Thanksgiving on that day, which of course made the parents nervous wrecks, which of course filtered down to their children, who were miserable, screaming children at that stage. They had not thought through what might be a healthy rhythm for their schedule. They thought they were at the beck and call of their parents instead of trying to find ways to make it work for them. And so I want to encourage you, as you're listening, as you're thinking about your family celebrations around holidays, how are you going to handle that in a way that's going to be helpful and life-giving to your family, to your children?
So good, Jean. So good.
Well, even think about Christmas. Is that going to be, are you going to be traveling? Are you going to try to have it at your celebration at your house? I know one family was visiting another home, relatives like a sister or brother-in-law or something over Halloween. And this particular family, my friends, didn't celebrate Halloween, but they went to a house who did celebrate Halloween. And I'm not making a comment on that, except that they put their children in an impossible situation. Mm-hmm. And so they ended up, even though it went against their values of letting their children go trick-or-treating, because they hadn't prepared ahead of time for how to put their values into practice according to their schedule and calendar.
Very good insight. Yep, thinking ahead. I had a thought and it disappeared. Give me a minute here.
No, I'll just talk while you're thinking. So you need to consider what is going to be the thing that would be the most fun and the most healthy for your family, for your kids. Is this a time in their lives where they can handle traveling, being gone for a holiday? Or are you putting something into motion that you really don't like, but you think, oh, I'll just do it this year and then we won't have to do this again? I know one of my relatives always did this thing every Christmas of putting a little dab of red, like lipstick or something on their nose. So when their child woke up, they told their child that Rudolph had kissed them.
Oh my.
Now you might think that's cute, and it can be cute. Again, not passing judgment on that.
Right.
But other family members with children, when their kids didn't get the little Rudolph kiss on their nose, they thought, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't Rudolph love me? If they had considered ahead of time who might be at the house for that holiday or how they want to celebrate that holiday, they wouldn't have run into, now it's not a huge issue, but it still was an issue. Those kinds of things will pop up if we're not planning and being prepared ahead of time.
Absolutely. And I, Jean, as you're talking, my brain also, I remembered, we had a different, and this again, rhythms of life. I feel like there's seasons where you do have a particular rhythm that works better. So I remember in particular a time where we just said, you know, we can only do two things on the weekends.
Nice.
And the rest is at home. That's what, you know, we had just pushed it to be more and we discovered that didn't work for our family rhythm. So we just, you know, I call it a rule of life. Like our rule of life was we could only have two things, and that eventually faded out kind of on its own. But it does make me think of that when you were talking about the holidays and preparing. Like, what's your rule of life that fits you, fits your family, that, we'll go to, we really will enjoy one holiday. You had mentioned Thanksgiving meal. And so we'll do that. And, we can find ways of connecting in other ways. But honoring, it kind of helps us for the unprepared that we haven't thought of. So if you have that rule of life that seems to fit, and then when the other thing comes up, you know that, like, actually, that's not going to work for us this year. Can we plan a different way of getting together with us? We really love and appreciate you. This year, we're only doing Thanksgiving at this house. I'm just using that example. But things will come up. And so if you know those general guidelines, it really can help you in those moments.
Becky, I'm wondering too if you could speak a little bit to the single moms out there, the idea that a single parent needs to be both mom and dad in terms of calendar. You touched on it a little bit in saying that you had made the family rule of only two things on a weekend.
Sure. So, and this, you could be a single mom or a single dad. And my situation's a little unique because I'm not in a divorced situation where there is another physical parent fulfilling that role. My husband is in heaven with Jesus. And so I think that is even a more unique place that just being aware of the responsibility that you feel in a really unique way. And at the same time, realizing how you feel that responsibility and you know you can't fulfill it is really what I realized as a single parent. And what I can say is that I just learned I had to acknowledge early on, I was not Natalie's dad. I could raise her to know him, and I could share stories, and we could look at photographs and such. And I could be intentional by making sure she had great male role models in her life and loving relationships from friends and uncles and grandparents and such. And there was no one on earth who was going to be her dad right now. Her dad was in heaven. That goes back to that wonderful older woman who told me that, like, just be honest with your child. And so Natalie's, not had anybody replace her dad on earth. And I think that was the most healthy way you can lead a child as a single parent and to lead yourself. I think being a single parent, you still have more than enough because you're the 24/7 always on parent. That's enough. You don't need to have both roles as a parent. And I will just share that it takes even more intentionality as a single person. Marriages have their challenges, and single life has our own challenges. And ours is being intentional about when do I have off time? When does my child get loved by other people? I think that's important for kids that have two parents. Absolutely important. I think it's very important for kids that have one parent. They need that circle of valuable relationships around them, and you do too. And so, it was as simple when Natalie was really little. It was as simple as somebody would watch her while I went to get my hair cut. And that was like every 6 weeks, I knew I'd have my little day out, my time for me. Obviously, there are many different areas and ways that's gotten worked out in my life. But just an encouragement that healthy rhythm and sustainability as a single parent just is essential, that you regularly have times of refueling away from your child and having other people really actively engaged in their lives.
I love that. That's so important. And as you said, not just for single parents, but for all of us. I mean, none of us as parents has been called to be our child's all in all.
Amen.
We cannot be all things our children. It does, that old adage, I know we might be tired of hearing it, but it's still true that it does take a village. Mm-hmm. I just have chosen that the village we had was our church. Mm-hmm. That I had people that I knew loved my kids, and they were for us and they were for them and they were cheering us on. And that's what I really hope for all parents who are listening to this podcast, is they would have a support system around them. And I would say, if you haven't checked out our blog yet, it would be good to do that. You can interact with us there. You can give us your thoughts. You can give us your questions that we'll try to address in future podcasts. We ideally would love this not to be one-sided of us just talking to you, but actually answering questions that you might have. So that's how you can play a part in this. I want to, I guess, to finish up this idea of healthy rhythms with our schedules, is really encourage you to look at some kind of physical calendar, not just think about it, but look at it and put the things, make a list of things that different members of your family enjoy doing. What are those things that are great, that are good for them, that are sustaining, long lasting, rather than just a burst of energy at one point? Make a list of those things and see how they fit in, because everybody's going to have a different list. And just make sure that there's some days in that calendar that are blank for all of you, for your own good.
I love that. And you can even look at your whole fall semester. And like you said, that even begins to look at your holidays and at least making you aware of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And looking at scheduling, and you can block them out. You can make a little box around it and say off, and just pick out, you know, maybe one Saturday a month that's going to have off written on it, and that you know you can put it in.
Having had four young children with all very different personalities and different likes and desires, when they were quite young, I would say, elementary school age. And it ended up sometimes being a fight with how we were going to fill our time. So one day, one of our conversations was, everybody write down on a piece of paper something they would really like us to do. And not just one piece of paper, but a few different pieces of paper, something that would be their choice of thing to do. This was another way to help the kids learn a little bit of empathy and put other people needs above their own. And we talked about how we're all very different and we don't all enjoy the same things, but we still want to do things together. And when that set time came, and I don't remember when it was, I feel like it was Sunday afternoon, somebody would get a turn to pull that paper out. We had already committed that we were going to do that for whatever, 2 months. So everybody had two turns and shared our scheduling in that way.
That's fun. And it definitely takes the what could be a divisive time. You just draw it out of the jar, and this is what we get to do. Love that, Jean. So, well, thank you again for listening, everybody. You can find us on our blog as well, and we hope you have an awesome week.